स्मार्ट कास्ट आप सुन रहे हैं HD स्मार्ट कास्ट और ये है फीवर FM प्रोडक्शन।
हाय, माय नेम इज स्तुति घोष एंड दिस इज मेरा वाला ग्रीफ, अ पॉडकास्ट फॉर एनीवन डीलिंग विद लॉस। आई रिसेंटली लॉस्ट समवन वेरी क्लोज टू मी। आई एम अ रेडियो प्रेजेंटर, अ फिल्म क्रिटिक, basically someone who's never short of words. And yet when it came to expressing myself, to talk about death, loss and grief, kuch samajh hi nahi aa raha tha, shabd hi nahi the. In this podcast, every week, I speak to someone who has gone through this pain. Kehte hai na, jis pe beetti hai, wo samajh sakta hai. और चाहे कहीं हम सबको लगे कि बहुत पर्सनल है मेरा वाला ग्रीफ, येट इट्स यूनिवर्सल। इट्स समथिंग एवरीवन गोज थ्रू एंड ट्राइज टू डील विद इन देयर ओन वे। थ्रू दीज कॉन्वर्सेशंस वी ट्राई एंड डीकोड ग्रीफ एंड व्हाट डज इट रियली मीन टू लिव आफ्टर द लॉस ऑफ अ लव्ड वन।
Hi guys, I am Stuti and this is Mera Wala Grief, a podcast for anyone dealing with loss. When we lose someone we're close to, nothing seems to make sense. And people say all kinds of things, from time will heal to isme bhi shayad kuch acha hoga, upar wali ki yahi marzi thi. Do we ever reach a stage in our lives when we actually accept it and are truly able to move on? To talk more about this, I have a very special guest with me this week, Anshula Kapoor. Anshula is the founder of Fankind. We, of course, also know her as the daughter of Mona Kapoor and Boni Kapoor, the younger sister of Arjun Kapoor. But today, Anshula is here to open up and share about how she is coping with the loss of her mother. First of all, thank you so much, Anshula. I know you don't do a lot of interviews. You're reserved, and I really, really am so grateful that you've chosen this platform to open up and share with us your feelings and thoughts about this. So thank you.
You're most welcome. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for thinking of me as someone who is worthy of talking about something as personal as grief, even though I know that you've gone through similar emotions. I've been dealing with it for almost 10 years now because my mother passed away in 2012, March of 2012. So in a few months, it'll be 10 years. Obviously, the loss is always personal, but I do agree that unfortunately or fortunately, the only people that can relate are the people who've gone through a similar loss. Yeah. And I keep saying this, I wish that our club of people who are grieving for a loved one remains as tiny and as small as possible. Mm-hmm. But seeing how the pandemic has been over the past couple of years, as well as just life in general, it's not as easy to go through life without feeling this kind of loss, this kind of grief, this kind of emptiness. I wouldn't say brokenheartedness, because it's that constant feeling of like you're missing a limb. Like something is missing. Yeah. It's not like, it's not broken, it's just missing. And you know what it felt like when it was there and now it's just not there.
You know, you're so right when you say this, because this is something I experienced myself. Even when condolence messages came, those who had gone through something similar, somehow they managed to reach me. Even if they wrote one line, I could understand, I could feel what they were trying to say. And usually, and I've also been in that space where if you don't go through something like this, you just have no idea what it means. And even how do you console somebody who's gone through something like this? Pandemic made this particular period has been so terrible. So many people have suffered that I thought it's so important that we talk, because we even do not have the right language, the vocabulary to be talking about this. Some days are tougher than the rest. You know, some days you can, And I'm sure you understand this. You've been carrying this pain for now 10 years. You know that there are some days where you can immerse yourself in work and for some time actually forget that something like that happened. And then some days are very, very tough. And that happened to me yesterday. I was speaking to a friend and I said, kuch na adhura lag raha. It's incomplete. Kuch khatam nahi hona chahiye tha because adhura hai. And she told me something. She said, you know, you will always feel this. You will never feel that it's a full circle and that full stop is normal. How have you been dealing with this? I mean, let us in. You are someone who comes from a family that is in public gaze. To grieve while people are watching is tougher. And how did you make sense of this? You were younger. This was 10 years back. What do you remember of that period?
Honestly, I just turned 21. My mom passed away a couple months after that. And I was studying in New York. I was back in Bombay because the few weeks before she passed away were not the best where she's concerned. She was in the hospital more than she was at home. But we still weren't prepared because we still thought she has a few more months. So when it happened, it was still like, it was unexpected. And this seems like a very small thing to even think about and talk about, but like, it was so unexpected that I didn't have white clothes. So the day mom passed away, my cousins and my friends have rallied. Maine kisi ka churidar pehna hai, maine kisi aur ka kurta pehna hai, kisi aur ka slip pehna hai, just so that there was something for me to wear for the cremation. Like the day that mom died, we got her home. She passed away because she had breast cancer. That was the primary cause of death. But breast cancer causes other complications in the body because of which her body shut down. And that's actually what caused her to expire as early or when she did. The one thing that we were grateful for, or that I was grateful for immediately when it happened, was that she was no longer in pain. Because the last visual of her being alive was in the ICU with every kind of machine and wire coming in and going, like coming in, coming out of her. It was just, it wasn't mom. That was not mom. And to remember her like that and to see the fact that they had to keep her sedated and unconscious because she was in so much pain if she was awake, that's just not the way you want your mom to live. So my immediate first thought was that she's not in pain. I don't know where she is right now. Yeah. She's obviously not in her physical body, but wherever she is, she's not in pain. And that for me was like the only thing I held on to for the first few weeks. But the first week was a blur. There were people coming in and saying, like you said, there were like some people have probably gone through it, but people my age at that point, I didn't know a single friend who had gone through it. Yeah. And I'm grateful for that because I don't want anyone in their 20s to have to go through this, or even younger. So most of my friends, barring one or two, were in college outside of India. So in that sense, Arjun Bhaiya's like friends and support system became my support system. Obviously, our cousins were here. It's a blur. I remember Ria Didi like making sure I have something to eat and like just not feeling hungry, just not feeling like anything can go in. And we kept mom in, I don't know what to call it. So I call it an ice coffin sort of, like it's that refrigerated thing where you can preserve the body till it is time for cremation. And that was right outside of my room, like where we placed her. So people could come and pay their respects till we had to take her to the crematorium. And for the first 2 years, every time I thought of mom, I either thought of her in the ICU with 100 tubes coming out, or I thought of her lying outside my room in the ice coffin. I couldn't access my memories of her when we were anything but that. It took me 2 years to even remember, like, one time when we were watching a movie, for example, I wasn't well. We were watching a Disney movie. She came home early and she just sat with me and we just saw two movies back to back. It took me a long time to access that memory. And that's not even like a heavy duty memory. It's just something that you probably like do with your mom day in and day out. And whoever says time heals all wounds, or like, you know, you won't feel it in a few years, it's rubbish. You feel it. I feel it 9 years. I wake up 9 years later and sometimes my first thought is still mom. Something is going on in my life, happy, sad, my first thought is still mom. It's always going to be that person because that person was so integral to you. It's just time helps you mold your life around that loss, which is also for the first year or two, every time I laughed, every time I felt happy, every time I saw something that like made me feel any emotion that was not a sad emotion, it was immediately followed by guilt.
I was going to come to that.
So it was like I'm laughing because I'm watching something funny, or I'm laughing because I'm sitting with a friend of mine and we just cracked a joke. But oh my God, how can I be happy because my mom is not here. I can't share that happiness with mom. Oh, okay. She's just passed away. I shouldn't be feeling this emotion. Like I'm cheating on her memory by feeling this emotion. Considering at that point, my only memory of her was after she had passed. It wasn't any of my happy memories with her. So it felt like I was cheating on her. And that guilt took so long to, it's still there, but now it's not the dominant emotion. It's kind of like in the backseat. Mm-hmm. And then there was the emotion of jealousy, because then you see all your friends with their parents and like they're enjoying a meal, or like I hadn't graduated from college yet. So when I was graduating from college, my friends had their moms and their dads there. When you're getting your first job, you're sharing that with your mom. You're getting your first salary. You're giving your mom a gift with it. And I would be so jealous. Like there would be so much jealousy. Thankfully, there wasn't that much anger. There was just like grief of another kind, of like a missing limb kind, and just like guilt and like a little bit of jealousy. So the first year was just, and I ran away. I was in, I had to go back to New York to finish graduating. So about a few weeks after she passed away and we finished the rituals, I flew back. I graduated a month after. I came back. I was in Bombay for a few months job hunting till I got a job. And I only applied for jobs that were not predominantly Bombay based. So my first job after college and after mom passed was in a city I had never lived in before. I was working in Gurgaon, because I thought that if I don't have to stay in the same house that was her house, I would feel it less. Because that constant visual memory of unka kamra khali hai, ghar mein aao to wo nahi hai puchne ke liye how was your day, wo nahi hai puchne ke liye beta khaoge kya, wo nahi hai puchne ke liye ki anything and everything, like you know, I was very naive to think that like uprooting myself from like her house to someplace else would help deal with the grief. All it did was postpone how I dealt with the grief, because it hit harder when I came back home. Every time I came back home.
I am so amazed at the clarity that you have, Anshala, and you've touched on so many different points. I'm going to take those one by one. But you're so right, because you know, every time when something as devastating as losing a parent happens, you kind of somewhere promise yourself, you tell yourself that I'm never going to come out of this. I will never for a minute forget this. My life stops here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen. And something very basic as eating and so therefore forgetting that grief for that limited time, or watching something, or just going out and you forget it. But then when you remember that and recall that, you feel so guilty. You feel like, how could I forget? I mean, was it that easy? How could I do it? Do I not love them enough? You know, you spoke about all those. I mean, seeing a parent suffer is just terrible. And I remember speaking about this with Prateek Gandhi also, who spoke about how, you know, sometimes when they're lying in that hospital bed with all those tubes, you know that that's not the life they want either. That's not your person. You know, that's not your mother. That's not my father. And I remember saying this little prayer. I couldn't even form a prayer when I was there, when I was around him. To look at it, pray karo. Mujhe to words bhi nahi samajh mein aate the. But I just remember, I would keep saying, please, Bhagwanji, take his pain away. Take his pain away. Because I knew that my father is not that man lying there with those tubes. He wouldn't want that. Has faith helped you this period? May people say, pray, have a relationship. What is that sphere in your life? Because a lot of people I know find it very difficult after something like this has happened to forgive. There is anger. There is or just complete heartbreak where you feel like, koi sunta hi nahi hai, so what's the point? What role has faith played for you?
I believe in the existence of God in some form, shape, or entity, but I'm not overtly religious. Even when mom was alive, she had a mandir in her room and she would pray every morning. That's the first thing she did after showering. I went to a school where religion was very much a dominant part of the school as well for most of my formative years. Having said that, I am not a religious person in my day-to-day life, in my daily activities. So for me, there was no anger with God, like, how could you take her? Or why are you so unfair, or any of those. There was no anger towards God. There was an automatic shift that happened after she passed away, where instead of, like, even though I wouldn't pray, sometimes I would have mental conversations with someone up there saying, like, kal exam hai, please achhe, matlab, just make sure I do well, or like, you know, tomorrow I have a job interview, just make sure that I don't make a faux pas, kind of a thing. You have those conversations in your mind with someone up there. I don't know how it happened. I don't know when it happened. All I know is a few months after she passed away, I started talking to her instead of talking to God. So instead of being like, you know, having a conversation with her like I would have if she were alive, it became a one-sided conversation with her, but it was me somehow believing that now she's that much closer to her God, so maybe she has like more of a direct connection to him. If not, then maybe if I just talk to her, it'll make me feel a little bit better about whatever I'm struggling with. So I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, the fact that I didn't have such a strong connection with a religious entity in that sense. But however my brain decided to kind of transform that conversation that I would have with someone higher up than me into my mom, it helped me feel a little bit more close to her while I was still dealing with it. Because obviously in my head I was like, okay, she's no longer in that cancer body, so she's not feeling pain. I know she can't be happy without me, or at least I don't think she can be happy without me being in the same place as her. But maybe if she's looking down at me and I'm having these conversations somewhere, every time that I've had a conversation with her when she was alive, I've picked up learnings from her. I've picked up the way she thinks. So maybe if I do get some kind of answer in my brain for this one-sided conversation, it is close to what she would have told me if she was alive. So that would help me, because my biggest fear, and till date it's my biggest fear, 9 years down, I still get panic attacks, because my biggest fear is I will forget her voice. I will forget what she smells like. There was a time very recently when, while having one of these conversations in my head, she didn't reply to me in her voice. I replied to me. My voice replied to me, and that scared the crap out of me. I remember not knowing how to deal with it. I remember speaking to Arjun Bhaiya and I was like, I can't hear mom's voice anymore. I've forgotten what mom's voice sounds like, and this is not okay, because that's the only thing I have left of her. I don't have her smell. I can't go and refer to her. Like, I can't get it back if I forget it. If it's not here, it's nowhere. And when there were floods in Bombay a few years ago, all of our VHS tapes got destroyed. I don't have video footage for me to go to and listen to her voice again. So if I don't remember it, and if I forget it, it can never go back in there. No one, like, I don't have a voicemail I can play and hear her. I don't have that. So, okay, we were talking about faith, but it's just like, that's how my faith became her. She became my go-to person, my go-to entity. Not that I don't believe in God, I still do, but I didn't hold anything against him. And I don't think I ever will. Now, this sounds a little bit crazy maybe, but like, the one thing that I thought mom would do, because we knew when she was diagnosed with cancer and she fell sick, we knew she has finite amount of time with us. At that time, we thought it'll be a few years. We didn't think it'll be a few months. I just, for some reason, thought that she will leave me a letter or something or the other, like something tangible that she didn't, because she used to journal and she used to write a diary, not very regularly, but she used to. And I was the one who packed her room after she passed away, donated like a lot of her belongings, kept a lot of her belongings, but just like packed her room so that it's not just lying there like a museum. I tore every drawer, every cupboard, every inch of her room upside down, her office, her, like, everything that I knew she had access to in the past year, I tore it apart thinking she's, it's not possible she's not left me something. It's just not possible. This woman used to write me notes and send me cute little notes when I was in college every week. It's not possible she not left me a letter. So if I did feel a little bit of anger, it was actually towards mom. And that made me feel so guilty that it was just, that was a horrible cycle to be in. I got myself out of it because I was in therapy. And I used to talk of all of this with my therapist. And I was like, the last thing I want to feel towards her is anger. I can deal with feeling guilt. I can deal with feeling sadness. I can deal with feeling empty. I can't deal with anger towards her because she's not there to defend herself.
You know, that's why we call this Merawala grief, because you're talking about your grief and there's so much of it that I can relate to, you know, because that pain is so universal when you speak about wanting to hold on to her voice, you know, to hold on to that feeling or how she smelled. And I remember sitting with my phone and there were these couple of videos of my dad that I still don't have the strength to play, but just the assurance that when I want to listen to his voice, I can. But I know how difficult that could be. Generally, log chale jaate hain. It's very tough. You said, you know, you tried, you moved out of the house thinking ki different scene, probably that'll help. You're not living in a house where she's not there anymore because this is a new setting. But it's tough to run away. It's not easy. You have the stuff still. I mean, har cheez, har choti cheez mein yaad judi hoti hai. After so many years, and I'm asking you this because I want your perspective. For me, it's very raw. But now, like you said, you packed her room, you have kept her stuff, some of it you've given away. When were you ready for this? And what is now your relationship with her stuff?
I don't know if I was ready for it. I just knew that I wanted to do it before I left for college. So I actually packed her room within the month of her passing.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to come back from college and have to go back into that feeling of emptiness and grief. And I didn't want Arjun Bhaiya to maybe one day, just while I'm away, be alone and do
and
it. Halanki maine bhi akele hi kiya tha, kamra jab mummy ka pack karna tha, there was no one in the room with me when I was doing it, when I was segregating what chunnis I want to keep, what saris I want to keep her. I kept all her sunglasses, I kept all of her bags. Unfortunately, her and my shoe size is not the same. So I couldn't keep her shoes to wear, but I've kept a few pairs of shoes that I know she would wear, like she was close to. And they are part of where I keep my shoes. So every time I go into that space, I can see it there. She used to wear kaftans at home. I've kept two of her kaftans. Not that I will ever wear it, but it's just, it's there. It's tangible. I can touch it. I've kept all of her wedding clothes because she kept them. I've kept them. And I will somehow incorporate them into my wedding whenever I get married. Yeah, because if she's not there with me physically, you bet she's going to be there in whatever way I can make it happen.
Yeah.
But I, hindsight mein, abhi mujhe lag raha hai ki it was too early and too soon for me to pack her stuff when I did, because I was not mentally prepared for it. I remember packing her room. It took me half the day to do it. For her perfumes, because she loved perfumes, her makeup, unki chudiya, every single thing that was in her room, in her dressing room, in her bathroom, I have packed up things that couldn't be used by me, but someone else we have donated to women's organize. Like we've just, I've tried to segregate it as much as physically possible. And I've come into Arjun Bhaiya's room, sat with him on the bed and howled for 20 minutes nonstop. Like wo dahade mar mar ke rone wali, matlab body is shaking, water is like spilling out, like almost to the level of like I may dehydrate myself, I'm crying that hard, head is hurting, body is not stopping to shake. He's like, I was lying down, he was lying down, he was just holding me while I was crying. And he was just like doing that to my head and just like holding me with his other hand. And I have cried and cried and cried and cried, because what I didn't realize is her clothes still had her smell. So every time I took out a thappi of her folded dupattas, that whiff of her perfume would come my way. Every time I took off something from a hanger, her smell would be there. You know, and like she had this habit that if she ever stored her bag, she never stored them empty. Hamesha usme kuch na kuch hota tha. Like sometimes she would leave a little bit of money there, or like there would be something or the other there. And like opening those bags and cleaning them, and then just having these mental conversations of that, okay, this is the last time I know that I was with her when she used this bag, and I know why this bag has a safety pin, because I had a dupatta malfunction and she carried extra for me, and just all of that like together was too much. So I wouldn't recommend you do it unless you have someone with you, whether it's your sister, your best friend, your grandmother, your younger sibling, your child, anyone you trust. Just have someone there in that room with you. Or bas tab karo when your heart tells you you're ready. Don't do it because you're scared that if you don't do it now and you do it later, it'll hit you even harder and you don't want to go back into that grief cycle later.
People say, and I'm still trying to find my my way through it, people say that you feel their presence. You will have instances, there will be signs. Have you managed to do that? Do you feel her around you?
I feel her around me. I won't say I feel her around me in tangible signs. It's not like a film scene ki, like you're thinking of her and suddenly barish gyuti shuru ho gayi type. It's not. I wish it was that like...
That clear, yeah,
No, it's not. I feel her around me sometimes. Most of the times when I'm alone, most of the times when I'm not feeling okay, she'll talk to me in my head, or I'll be scrolling through social media and there'll be a quote that I would resonate with because it's something so similar to what she would have told me in that moment. So I do feel her around. I do feel her around me also when I'm experiencing any kind of joyful emotion. I like, it feels like there was an extra like heartbeat that happened because that was her way of just like, you know, squeezing me with a hug and being like, I'm also here, like, you know, I can see that you did this and I'm here, like, don't think that I'm not here. Honestly, the first few years I was looking for those signs everywhere. I was looking for that to be, it was like, well, safety blanket hota hai na, it was like
very actively, yeah
because you're not used to letting that go, but now it doesn't happen as often and I'm okay with it because I know I don't need to physically feel a sign or physically feel a sign to know she's with me. Now I've accepted that she's with me. As long as I'm alive, she's with me, because I was a part of her, right? So she's with me. Even if there is no external sign coming my way, I can still have a conversation with her in my head and she is with me. And sometimes I can have a conversation with Bhaiya and just be like, what would mom have said in this situation? And she's with us. She's with us.
I get that. You know, a parent going away feels like a betrayal. You were so young, you lost your mother, and like you said, aapke immediate circle mein, you know, you haven't seen that. You haven't seen people, you know, who've lost a parent. You don't know. It's scary. It's happened to you. Phir bhi, you had family, you had friends, you had a real brother. There are some, you know, sometimes there are people who are alone, who are left completely alone. You know, I'm an only child. I don't have a sibling. When it comes to dealing with grief, Anshula, akele karna padta hai ya it matters ki kitne log aas paas hain?
Dealing akele karni padti hai. Dealing to koi aur nahi karega, lekin koi aur aapko perspective de sakta hai. I was very fortunate, very, very fortunate that I had someone in my life at that point who came in through, again, my sister and Bhaiya's friends, who had gone through a similar loss. She's older. She's Arjun Bhaiya's age, but she'd gone through the loss of losing her mother a few years before I lost my mother. And in the middle of the night, in the first couple years, when I would get, agar neend aati, to it would be with nightmares. Like I would dream over and over again that she's dying, over and over again in different ways. And I would wake up drenched in sweat, or just wake up with like still like tears fresh like rolling down my face. And whether it was 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, I just had to send her a message. And somehow she would be awake and somehow she would talk me down and somehow I would fall asleep with her on the phone. So it helps to talk to someone who gets it. It definitely helps. And she gave me a lot of ways that helped her.
Mm.
Some of those helped me. Most of them didn't help
me. Yeah.
But I always knew that I wasn't alone, because sometimes when you're feeling things like guilt, sometimes when you're feeling things like these nightmares, or suddenly, at least in the first few months, in the first few years, there will be moments where you forget that they have passed.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you make a mental note ki mummy se ye puchna hai, and then you're suddenly like, okay, mummy nahi hai.
Yeah.
And those used to give me mini attacks at that time.
Yeah.
That's when I would not know what is happening with me, because I would be reliving that loss all over again. Just having her to call, or even like knowing I can pick up the phone and call, and knowing that I'm not the first person in the world to go through this. There are millions of others who have gone through this and they found a way to live. Because your first thought is main nahi jee paungi unke bina, kabhi jiya nahi hai, hoga nahi, hoga hi nahi, backbone thi, backbone toot chuki hai, ab paralysis ho chuka hai, ab jeena hi nahi hai. But then you see others who are living, because they found a way to hold that grief without it causing them trauma and build their lives around it, because that grief is what made them remember all the memories. But they've built their life around it without stopping themselves from living. Because my mom would never want me to become a shell of myself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So like, it helped knowing that like I have someone to kind of talk about this with. But at the end of the day, the healing I have to do on my own. Of course, I seek therapy for a little while as well. And that helped a lot, especially when I was feeling frustration with myself. Ki mujhe koi mummy ki yaadein kyun nahi dhyan mein aa rahi? Why can I not think of her? Why am I only looking at her in that ice coffin? Why am I only looking at her in that ICU bed? When will I be able to access my years and like 20 years worth of memories with her that I have, where she's smiling and she's laughing? And she is the mom that I want to remember. So all of that helped, but then that's the healing that you have to do yourself. Because no matter who you talk to who's lost the same relative as you have, their journey is different and your journey is different. So it's not like a copy-paste sort of situation, like manual that you can use, but it is just that like hope.
I think that's beautifully explained, Anshula. Finally, generally, parents aise bolte hai na, hum chale jayenge tab pata chalega, tab samjhoge tum. You made that effort. You said I was slightly angry with her because I thought she leaves something, you know. You suddenly look for a handbook that they should leave for you so that we can live without them, because you feel like there's no way we can go ahead. Jab tak wo hame nahi batayenge how to go ahead, and that's the loss and that's the incomplete feeling that kind of stays with us. Have you now been able to access those memories, 20 years worth memories, and what is the thing that now you remember her with, you know, the things that she said? How is she guiding you through your everyday life?
So because it took me so long to access those memories, I now have become the kind of person who can't shut up about talking about my mom. So instead of feeling jealous about the fact that you're with your mom and I'm seeing that happen, I'll talk about my mom. I will, and if I've met someone who I've met after mom passed away and they didn't know my mom, I'll talk about her so much that they'll think that they know her. So for me, accessing those memories happened on its own. It's not like I was every day trying to like sitting 10 minutes dhyan karke remember karo. No, it just one day I woke up in the morning and I remembered watching Tangled with her. One other day I woke up in the morning remembering a conversation that they were having while having Rajma Chawal one day for lunch. So it was just, I think when my brain started dealing with the trauma and when my brain thought that I was ready to kind of accept the loss, it gave me back everything that it was shielding me from. Because I also have a lot of like blurred memories and like black holes from the first few months after.
Very natural.
Including the week that she passed away. And I know this, I mean, this is a side, like, I know this because I don't know for what reason, but a few years after she passed away, someone on Twitter sent me a YouTube video link of her funeral, like of her cremation. And like, I don't know why I played it and I watched it. And then I was like, I don't remember any of this. That's when it hit me that not only don't I remember like months after, but I don't remember when, like that when it was happening, because it was an out of body experience. You're just doing the rituals, but you have to do it. You're not mentally there. So those things also came back to me over the years. But like now it's very easy for me to access memories with her. And it makes me very happy to be able to share anecdotes, to be able to, I may not remember exactly what she told me in conversations. I will paraphrase because I remember the mood of what she was trying to explain to me. I'll use that and when I'll be talking to a friend of mine, we'll be like, you know, mom had once said this. And like now when I look at it in hindsight, I feel like she was so accurate and like, you know, it applies to this situation right now as well. So now it's much easier to access her memories. And now 9 years out, I can access it without feeling that pang of jealousy or that pang of hurt. Obviously, you're always going to feel that emptiness and you will build your life around that emptiness. Yeah. But like I was talking to a friend of mine very recently who unfortunately has also lost both of his parents in a very short period of time. And I was trying to explain to him how this grief and time healing on wounds doesn't apply to us, because the better analogy for us is it's like an ocean with low tide and high tide. When there are low tide, it's like it's in the back of your head, you're feeling that loss and you're feeling that emptiness, but you're able to do things in the day. You're able to do your work. You're able to be with your family. You're able to live your life, so to speak. But then there are some days when it's at high tide and that grief is so much part of your day in that particular moment. And it's so in the front of your head that you can't do anything. It's almost like you're frozen and you're just hoping it doesn't suck you in. But even if it sucks you in years after the loss, you know, low tide is going to come very soon. So you'll go back into that new normal that you've created where that pain and that loneliness is still at the back, but you're still able to kind of be okay with it. So like for me, I think the best thing that happened was to be able to access memories with her again, because that's actually what helped me deal with it in a more healthy manner and also kind of be able to talk about her loss with people who maybe, because I, unfortunately, I've known now a lot of people whose parents or family close by have gone through the journey of cancer. Thankfully, most of them have survived. But there's always that moment where you don't know what's going to happen because the disease is so uncertain. Just being able to talk about her, the treatment, or like what happens after if they don't make it kind of a thing, it helps people, but also helps me grieve. And it also helps me know that I've reached a healthy place where I'm able to talk about it without crumbling. I'm able to talk about it without getting a nightmare that night, and I'm able to talk about it without like dry heaving, because that's basically what was happening in the first 2 years. So it's been a journey that you have to take on your own to be able to reach a place where you build that norm. No one is going to do it for you. They'll be there. Like I've had friends who've been there even when they've not known this kind of grief or loss, who've been there because when I was falling, they were like, we're there. You can fall and you can be down there for as long as you want. We are sitting with you there. When you're ready to get up from there, we'll also get up with you, but just you're not alone. But you have to get up. We can't like, you know, pull you back up. I'm sorry, I talk in metaphors a lot, apparently, but I don't know.
I think it's easier to understand because we can also see how beautifully you've started with grieving and coping, and now you've started your journey of healing, which is what so many of us actually strive to reach. Finally, Anshula, people who are listening to this podcast, those who are watching this, everybody would be in a different stage of grieving. For some, it would be very raw. Kuch ke liye waqt ho gaya hoga. Some have managed to somehow get a hold on life. Some haven't. What would you tell them? I'm not projecting you as an expert, but since you've gone through this, what would you tell them?
There's no right or wrong way of grieving. Very early on, I was told how to grieve, and that pissed me off because my loss, how I deal with my loss and how I grieve my loss and how I remember the person who has left us is mine alone. You do not get to dictate how I feel. So if anyone's telling you to be strong, do not listen to that, because you have every right to not be strong every minute of every day. You want to not be strong, you be that person. You want to grieve by crying, you be that person. You want to grieve by yelling, you be that person. You want to grieve by momentarily losing faith in your God, you be that person, because that is what will help you get to the next stage and perhaps reach your new normal or your new healthy. So there is no right way, there is no wrong way. And there is nothing wrong in seeking help from the outside in terms of talking to a therapist, talking to a grief counselor, talking to someone who's lost a loved one. There's nothing wrong in it. Obviously, don't go down the route of like self-sabotaging yourself by saying, ye wo bhi sahi hai in my grief. No. And don't expect people to excuse you for the rest of your life just because you have had a loss. No. That's not a valid excuse for you to become a douchebag. And that's not a valid excuse for you to not do things that are expected of you, because you can't not live your life in that sense. Yeah. And you don't get to use the memory of the of your loved one as an excuse. Like, don't demean them to that extent. Yeah. But still, there's no right or wrong way of grieving. There is, if you haven't cried since their death, it's fine. You will cry when your body is telling you that they're ready to cry. If you can't stop crying, it's fine. If you can't work for more than an hour in a day because you cannot concentrate, it's fine. You will get out of it, because trust me, there have been a lot of people who've been in that place and they've come out of it. You will come out of it, but just don't do it alone, because that'll eat you up. You'll be in your head and that'll just not be helpful in you coming out of that. Yeah. So if you don't have anyone in your circle who has lost someone, you're very fortunate. But that doesn't mean that you can't talk to people who you're already close to. You can still talk to your best friend who may not know exactly what you're going through, but they will be empathetic towards you and just be there. So sometimes just knowing that, like, you're not sitting alone in your locked bathroom crying is helpful.
Yeah.
And if someone, whether you're a guy or a girl, if someone sees you crying because you're mourning, you're not weak.
Yeah.
Showing any kind of emotion is not weakness. I was very recently, after she passed away, I was crying. And it was not a private moment of grief. It was a semi-public moment of grief. There were maybe like 15 people around. And one of those people came up to me and told me, kya kar rahe ho? You can't be this weak. Your mom was not this weak. Your mom was a tigress. You have to be strong. You cannot show emotion. And I was like, I will show emotion, because if I bottle up my emotion, it'll cause me more distress. So you grieve the way you want to grieve. Do not listen to anyone else. There is no handbook in grief.
Yeah.
There may be stages that, like, people more intelligent than us have told us that we will experience. You may not experience all of them in the order that most people do, and that's still fine. You may not experience them at all. You may wake up one fine day and that pressure on your chest may be lesser. Maybe that's the sign that you need to know that, okay, today is probably going to be one of those low tide days where you're not going to be able, you're not going to be thinking of your relative as much as you were yesterday. Don't feel guilty about it. It's fine. Because at the end of the day, that loss and that relationship is never going to leave you. Even if you're not presently thinking of that loss 24/7, it doesn't mean that you're betraying the person who's passed away.
Yeah.
You're actually betraying yourself, because you're holding yourself back from living a better life. And I always feel like the person who passed away would never want our life quality to suffer to an extent that we're not even, that we're a shell of our former self. I think I've talked a lot.
Nahi, but you've made a lot of sense. You've reached me, Anshula. Thank you so much. You know, the fact that you're saying every emotion is legitimate and there is no handbook to how you must grieve. So there should be no guilt. Nobody needs to be self-conscious about how they're expressing their loss. Thank you so much for opening up. I know it's not easy, but you've been so articulate. And I think this conversation is going to help so many people. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me on your platform. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share good, bad, ugly of the process of grieving. And I'm hoping that our little community of people who have lost loved ones don't grow as fast and as wide as this pandemic has made us believe that they are growing. I don't want people to have to experience the grief that we are experiencing if they can help it.
That's so true.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Anshula.
You can listen to us on hdsmartcast.com and on other leading audio platforms. Always remember, there's no hurry. It's okay to grieve. So take your time. In case you want to stay in touch with me, you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at @RJSTUTEE or on Instagram at @StutiGhosh. To watch the video of this episode, you can check out the HD Smartcast and Fever FM YouTube channels. We are also present on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. For more podcasts, log on to hdsmartcast.com. Aur suno naye nazariye se.
Aap sun rahe hain HD Smartcast. Aur ye tha Fever FM Production. HD Smartcast.